This year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another and putting pieces in place. That's what we've been doing, connecting the pieces of the puzzle. And one way we do that, one way we connect to God and one another and put pieces together in our lives is by coming here. This is holy ground, sacred ground, where the prayers and lives of many people have been lifted up, where we've been strengthened and empowered and sent out. This is our last week of talking about connecting to Jesus, the power of hope. We're going to make a shift next week to talk for 3 weeks about connecting to the Holy Spirit and then on from there. Today we're talking about Jesus as our ever-present hope here on holy ground, our ever-present hope. And it's not just us as individuals either. Jesus is our ever-present hope, and even beyond these walls, our ever-present hope. Here's how our scriptures go for today. We are going to start with some words from the prophet Isaiah, several hundred years before Jesus, when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news and has anointed me." Then, as Jesus begins his ministry, we're not going to read this passage, but I'm going to lift it up in the message. Then, as Jesus begins his ministry, he sits in the synagogue in Nazareth. He opens up that scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord God has anointed me to bring good news." And then he wraps it back up, and he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus is the prophet who will show us the very being of God and who will challenge us to be everything that we can be in Jesus' name. Prophets tell it like it is and challenge us to be better. And then, so we hear the ancient words of the prophet. We hear Jesus quote those words and name himself as the anointed one. And then we're going to hear Matthew 28, the very end of the gospel of Matthew 28. Jesus is leaving, and he's leaving his ministry to his followers. He says, in effect, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to bring good news. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and you are anointed. Now go," and he says finally, last words in Matthew, "I will be with you always, ever-present hope." So we're going to begin with the words of the prophet here on holy ground.
I'm reading from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and it comes from chapter 28 in its verses 11 through 20. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, the Father of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" the Word of God for the people of God.
O God, pour out your deep, deep love well into our hearts so that we might know your ever-present hope. Amen. Okay, so I know you've been sitting for a little while now, so just stand up right where you are. Stand up right where you are. If you can, if you can't, that's fine. You can just move your arms. We're going to move a little bit. Okay, two steps to the right. Two steps to the right. Okay, arms up in the air. Two steps to the left. Arms down to your side, swinging, and back down in your seats again. Kind of good to get moving, huh? Get that blood flowing. You're not going to fall asleep during this sermon now because you got up and got moving. You got up and got moving. It's good to get moving, isn't it? Always, we go walking most mornings, either together or separately, but who wants to take that first step out the door every morning? But once you get moving, it's way better, isn't it? I was thinking about this yesterday as I watched the end of the women's finals at Wimbledon, and Serena Williams was beat so badly, but I thought about all it took for her to get to that place. After having a difficult childbirth just 10 months ago, and to really get up and get moving and get going and get back into that kind of shape, to make it to the finals at Wimbledon in just that short period of time, everything that it took to get moving and get going. And then I got to thinking about what happens to us when we don't go or we don't keep moving. We're just there, aren't we? We think, oh man, I was a slug today when we didn't move at all. It's so good to get up and get going and keep moving. Now, there's a lot of reasons why we get up and we get moving, why we go. It's good for our health. Sometimes we're in a competition and that's kind of fun for us. We get up and get moving to see new places and to have new experiences, to get going and have new opportunities. Well, Jesus is telling his followers to go for all those reasons I've just mentioned, and yet another main one. He says, you have seen me and you have known me. You have watched me heal. You have listened to me teach. You have watched me. He says this to his friends. I'm confident of it. He says, you have watched me die and be alive again. You have experienced my love for you and the hope that I bring. He's saying this to you right now. You realize this, don't you? He's saying this to you and to me right now. You have seen this. Now go and tell others, he says to his disciples. Get up and get going and tell others about me. Tell others about my saving love, my hope, the peace that I can bring. Go as I was anointed. Now you are. Go and bring good news by how you live and how you love. In 2006, I had the privilege of going with a delegation of clergy. I was a district superintendent then. I had the privilege of going with a group of clergy to the Philippines. We spent about 10 days in the Philippines. And the reason that we went was to learn about how the United Methodist Church was developing new congregations, new churches in the Philippines. They had taken this upon themselves some 20 years before that, that every church would birth new churches. They would become mothers and grandmothers. That's the language that they use. Mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, and start new churches throughout the Philippines. And the United Methodist Church had done this. And we went to go and learn from them and to see what they had done. So we visited a number of churches, and then we visited a church in Baguio City. Some of you know Baguio because there were once U.S. military bases there in Baguio. And we visited churches in Baguio, and then somebody said, do you want to go visit one of our daughter churches up in the mountains? We said, well, of course, that's why we're here. So one day they loaded us all up in a van, and they took us up this windy mountain road. I have pictures of that as well. This windy mountain road till we got to this little out-of-the-way place, this little tiny building brick or cement building, and we went down some treacherous steps, and we opened the door. It was the second week in December. We opened the door to their little sanctuary, and we were flooded with the sounds of children singing Christmas carols. It was an incredible experience. This was their little daughter church up in the mountains, where people were learning and loving about Jesus Christ and teaching it to their children. Children from the surrounding villages came to this church, and they were waiting for us so that they could sing the Christmas carols that they had learned. And we were treated to that. When it was finished, the pastor invited us to his house, which was right next door, a tiny little place, and they offered us their very best hospitality. And it was boiled potatoes and strong coffee. That's what we had. That was the best of their hospitality. Potatoes that they had grown in those hills. And they offered that to us, their very best. And you know what they talked about? They talked about how they were making plans to give birth to another church further up in the mountains, because they knew about some family members and friends that lived in yet a more remote place. And they were getting ready to go and bring them the good news of Jesus Christ. It was deeply inspiring to be part of that. You see, they understood this going into the world to bring good news, and that they were anointed to do that. The Spirit anointed them to bring good news, and Jesus' ever-present hope was so well into their very spirits. Go was a part of who they had become. They had something good to share, and they brought Jesus' hope to the most remote places, to people just like you and me. Go was part of who they were, and the experience really helped me to understand this whole business of being anointed and going in Jesus' name. The experience of being there formed me, helped me feel so close and connected to those people through the United Methodist Church there in the Philippines, and filling me with the hope that is ours in Jesus. If those people could do this, so could I, so could we. And you know, I couldn't get out of there without holding a baby, right? That picture is 12 years old. Haven't changed a bit, right? Just like all of you. I said to Paul this morning, that baby is all grown up now. But I couldn't get out of there without holding a little Filipino baby and receiving the blessing of that child and those people there. You see, hope is knowing that God has something more and something good in store. It's a simple definition of hope. Hope is knowing God has something more and something good in store. That's what Jesus promised to his people on the mountain in Galilee that day. I picture him there on the mountain in Galilee with his dearest friends, the ones to whom he was entrusting his work. They were remembering the early days. You know, Scripture only gives us these little snippets, so you have to fill in the rest of it. They were remembering the early days of Jesus in the temple when he first started 3 years before that. The Spirit, unrolling that scroll, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord God has anointed me to bring good news, quoting the prophet Isaiah. And then they sat there, remembering all that they had seen and heard with Jesus. They saw him heal and teach and forgive, and they laughed together. Almost certainly, they laughed together and ate together, and they shared with one another, Jesus and his followers. They had watched him die, and they had watched him come alive again. Here he was with them on this mountain, and he says to them, Now you go. I anoint you to take my place. Teach others what I have taught and shown you. Show them how I am your hope, their hope, and most of all, remember, I'm with you always. And then the disciples do it. After he's gone, they do it. It's amazing. They do it. They go into the world and they tell what Jesus has done for them. You know, those words for Jesus' followers, we need now more than ever. The main thing to remember is that Jesus' Spirit and his love are with us. They are our hope. And God has something more and good in store, always. Remember, Jesus' Spirit is with all of us. Jesus' Spirit is so much bigger than the one that resides in each of us. It is for all of us. It is for our world. Jesus is with our world. He said to his followers, go into the world and I am with you. We tend to think that Jesus is our little captive spirit. But Jesus is watching over the world. I know sometimes it seems difficult to believe. But he is. And God has something more and good in store. And Jesus' Spirit is with us as a church. With us here, St. Mark's. As we live and love and do good things, Jesus is with us. And I know that you know that a group of us have been praying together and working together about the possibility of starting another site for St. Mark's. We have a great thing going here. And we know that there are people, especially a little ways north of us in here, who don't have a United Methodist Church close by. And we are starting to think and plan and prepare for how we can have, I don't know what we'll call it, St. Mark's North, maybe, or something like that. Because we are taking seriously God's command to go. We have been doing because we've been doing this because we have something really good here. We have a way of welcoming people, a kind of acceptance. We have Jesus. And Jesus' Spirit and his love and his hope, and we want others to be able to be part of it. That's the whole reason for it. It's not so we can say, oh, we've got another site. It's so we can reach people who do not yet have a place to call home in Jesus. And you all are going to get to help us with that. We're going to stay really, really strong here. And we're going to extend ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus' Spirit is with and calling each of us. Because you see, Jesus is with the world. Jesus is with our church and is with each and every one of us. Jesus' Spirit is with us and calling each of us, has brought us comfort. You think about this. What kind of comfort Jesus' Spirit has brought you over your years? Jesus' Spirit has brought you healing, us, and a reason for living. And Jesus' Spirit is anointing each of us to go, to invite, to welcome. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for the Lord God is anointing you to bring good news. Now, sometimes people wonder how to do that with other people in this day and age when we don't talk about religion or politics. How do I do that? We wonder how we can really do that because I saw this cartoon. There was this cartoon of a guy who has in big letters on a t-shirt, let's talk about Jesus. And his friend is next to him and he turns to his friend and he said, this shirt guarantees me my own seat on the bus. Truly, we do wonder how to share Jesus' good news. And here's some things you can say. When you're with family or friends later today or this week, you can say, today in church, our pastor talked about how Jesus' love is with us always. And I've experienced that in tough times. You can say that. Today, our pastor talked about Jesus' love, and I've experienced it. Or when somebody asks you, why do you go to church anyway? You can say, God has done so much for me, and Jesus gives me hope that God has something more and good in store. That's why I go to church, because of what God has done for me. And also, life is better when I go to church. You can say something simple like, today in church I was so moved by the choir singing Deep, Deep Love. And I just couldn't wait to go out and tell you about that. Those are the kinds of things you can say. You don't have to have a t-shirt that says, let's talk about Jesus. For me, I don't know how I'd get along without Jesus. He is my presence and my hope. He carries me through in good times and in difficult ones, and he is what matters to me. You can all say amen if you want. Yeah. Today I invite you to listen to what Jesus is saying to you, how Jesus is with you, how Jesus is bringing you hope and asking you to go. During the offering today, Stuart and I will be standing up here in front with anointing oil. And if you would like to have some anointing on your hand with the words, "Go in the name of Jesus, who is our hope," you may come. You don't have to, but you may. Get a little oil on your hand like we did with the children. It is through our bodies and the work of our hands that we go in Jesus' name. Thanks be to God. Amen.